for leading us. You notice that when we first start off this time, described as praise and worship, typically it goes from these songs that remind you of what He has done, right? That reminder is an invitation for you to come and give Him thanksgiving and praise, right? It reminds you, he's oh yeah, He did get me here safely. Oh yeah, I do have a roof over my head. Oh yeah, I do got clothes in my closet. Oh yeah, I do got food in my refrigerator. Yeah. Oh yeah, and so the songs are designed to remind you of what He has done. Right? And so we begin to praise Him for, oh, Lord, thank You for whatever, right? And then you'll notice then a transition, because after you understand what He has done and you bring Him thanksgiving, right, and praise, and again, everyone is allowed to praise Him. The Bible says, let everything that has breath do what? Right. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Saved or unsaved, you have a right to praise the Lord. Because saved or unsaved, you are here. Amen? You're not dead. I've said this a number of times. Unsaved folks ought to praise Him crazy too, because you're not in hell. Amen? Amen. But then we transition to this time where we pass from praising and praise to get to the part where we worship the Lord. And we begin to recognize who He is. And that calls for some type of response. Amen. If you look, and there are a number of words or definitions that is used in the Bible for worship. And in the Old Testament, it was to at times to bow down, right, or to kneel or lay before someone in order to express a respect or make supplication. To worship is to recognize one's rank in comparison to God's rank. Recognize one's rank in comparison to God's rank. In our church today, we have a former Air Force officer, Al Lamons. So he was a colonel in the Air Force. And so when captains or those who are below his rank, when they would cross paths with him being a colonel, that they would stop and they would salute, right? Because they understood his rank in compared to their rank. And it demanded some type of response, right? And so there was, during our time of singing today, there was a phrase that said, King Jesus. And anytime I see that title, that name, there's something in me that responds to that. He's the King. And more often than not, we would bow before the King. For He is the King. And He deserves our obedience. He deserves our worship. Not because He's done anything, even though He does, is because of His rank. He is the King. And we bow before the King. Understanding His rank and compared to ours. There's a story in the book of 1 Samuel. it's in third chapter of the book of First Samuel. And it's a story, a short story about a guy named Eli and about a young prophet to be named Samuel. And Samuel was unaware of the voice of God as a young boy. And so Eli had not been disciplining his children, and he had allowed them to do things that were not right in the temple. And God says, hey, you better stop doing that. And he didn't listen. And so God said, I'm gonna punish Eli. And so Samuel's young boy, 8, 9, 10, in the temple, and he hears this voice saying, Samuel. And he thinks it's Eli. And he runs to Eli and says, you called me? And he says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And then he hears the voice again, Samuel. And he runs to Eli, and you asked for me? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And then the third time, I believe, he did it again. And Eli realized it was the voice of the Lord. And he said, listen, son, when you hear that voice again, just say, speak, Lord, thy servant listens. And so the Lord said to Samuel again, and Samuel said, speak, Lord. And Samuel, God told Samuel, I'm going to do these things to Eli's house because of Eli's disobedience. So the next morning, Eli got up and he asked Samuel, he said in verse 17, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing, that Eli was going to be destroyed. Samuel told Eli everything and hid nothing. And then this is Eli's response, and I want you to listen to this response. Eli said this, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Mary got a word from Gabriel in Luke chapter 1. Said, this is going to happen to you, Mary. You're going to have a baby. You're going to be impregnated with the Holy Spirit. You're going to raise up this child. He's going to be a savior of the world. And Mary said this, I am the Lord's handmaiden. I am the Lord's handmaiden. I belong to him. Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Go with me to Psalms 115. And I want to look at one verse there. We'll come back to it later. Psalms 115. Psalms 115. And I'll look at verse 3. Psalms 115 and verse 3. It says, and it's up on the screen, it says, but our God is in the heavens. And he hath done whatsoever pleased him. I want to read it from the New King James Version. Verse 3, it says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. I want you to understand something. When we're talking about worship, he is God and we are not. If he does nothing else, he's still worth it. My adoration, my life, he's still worth it. There are many times God does things that I don't even like. But then you read a verse like this, it says, he sits in heaven, he is God, he does what he wants. Amen? If we're going to walk in an area of worship, we must understand that he is God, we are not, he does what he wants, and you know what? I'm going to be good with it because you are God, and I bow before you. We have this breakdown in America where we do not fully understand or appreciate authority. we have a breakdown in America where we do not fully understand authority. We see it in homes. In the sucking of lips when the parents tell a child to do thus and so. We see it in the rolling of the eyes. There is a breakdown in the understanding of authority here in America. And it has entered the church. For we do not recognize who God is. God is not man. He's God. And he does what he wants. Amen? We have been designed to worship. And we're going to worship something or someone. It may be a sports team. It may be your kids. It may be money. Or it just may be yourself. Right? But you're going to worship something. You've been designed to worship. To adore, give adoration to someone or something. And you will. What we're trying to do is point you the direction to one who is worthy of your worship, and that is God. He is the only one that is worthy of your worship, and you are designed to worship him. And worshiping him is the end. I don't worship as a means to an end. Worship is the end. It's not I worship him so I can get from him. That's what we do when we flatter people, right? I flatter you so I get something from you. Girl, you're looking good. I like the way you walk in. Amen? We flatter because we want something. And there is a tendency to flatter God because we want something from God. Worship is not a means to the end. It is the end. It is what I've been designed and created to do, to give, to say, you're valuable, you're worth it, there's no one like you, I don't want to be, all you sung a song, all I want is you. All I really want is you. I want you. Getting the house, that's great. Getting the car, that's great. Having a job, that's great. But what I really want is you. And God is seeking for those who really want him. Many of us have dated people who really wanted something from us. They didn't want you. She didn't want you. You had a job. You were nice. You would buy her some things. She didn't want you. Worship is the end. We were designed and created to give him worship. Exodus chapter 20. Worship is not law or religion. Worship is about your relationship you have with him, the Almighty. Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to read it from the New King James, Exodus chapter 20. And I want to start at verse 18, Exodus 20. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, Now, in the chapter before that, God had said, you're going to be my priest. They had an opportunity themselves for the whole nation to be priests unto the Lord, to come before his presence. But they saw the thunders and the lightnings, and let me read it here. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. They were fearful. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you. Don't be afraid. It's scared. God has come to test you, that his fear, his respect and reverence may be before you. Two different fears here. One is being scared and afraid. The other is being reverence and be revered. God has come to test you, that his fear, that you may revere him, may be before you, so that you may not sin. So watch this. There are some people who only want law and religion. So, pastor, you teach me, you read to me, I don't want to do it myself, and I'll hear you. Okay? You read, you study, I'll come, and I'll eat. That's just religion. Evangelist, you study, you go before the Lord, you pray, I'll come on Sundays, you teach me, and I'll listen. Then I'll go back home and do my thing. Verse 21 of that chapter says this, and we're talking about worship. So the people stood afar off. The next phrase says this, it's this. But Moses, everyone say, but Moses. But Moses drew near. The people stood far off. There's this invitation to be in relationship with God, to be a worshiper of God. There's an invitation. And so he invites men and women to come and to be worshipers. But many stand afar off. I'm here, but I don't want to enter in. I'll come to the tabernacle. I'll make this sacrifice at the altar. I may even go get washed at the brazen container, the basin, but I don't want to go into the Holy of Holies. So I'll be here. I'm at the church, but I don't want to draw near. I don't mind praising the Lord. Everyone can do it. But if I get too close to him, he's going to require that I bow down before him. And I don't want to humble myself and bow down before him. So I'm here. You ever been, there are some relationships you don't get too close to. And that's how people treat God. I don't want to give him all. I'll give him some. And so the children of Israel missed an opportunity to be in this close relationship with God. And they said, Moses, you go do it. We'll sit out here, and you come out, you tell us what God said. And so Moses drew near to the thickness of the cloud where God was. Yeah, where God was. God is looking for more than just religious people, for more than just those who want to abide by the law. God is looking for true worshipers. Amen? John chapter 4. John chapter 4. So Jesus is in this conversation with this woman at the well. And they're having this conversation starts off about water, then it moves on, and she thinks that, you know, her people know how to worship and all that. And Jesus makes this comment to her in John chapter 4. And let me start at verse 21. It says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." Let me break this down. He's not looking for worship. He's not this egotist who says, I thrive on folks worshiping me. What he's looking for is worshipers, because he understands the best thing for us is to be a worshiper of him. Because when I'm a worshiper of him, I am exposed to him. I'm in his presence. And when I'm in his presence, his glory comes upon me. And then when I leave his presence, so to speak, I then go out into my, as Gail said in our prayers earlier, then people around me see the presence of God on me and are drawn to him. Are you following me, what I'm saying? And so he's looking for those worshipers. I'm looking for someone who will be a worshiper, that I might expose myself to them. Because what this world of orphans is looking for and really needing is a father. And so I want you to be a worshiper. I want you not to stand afar off, but I want you to enter into the cloud so that you might get to know me, that my glory might be on you, that you might demonstrate my glory to those around you, because they're desperately looking for a father. And you can express myself to them. The Bible says that Moses, when he came from meeting with God, he had to cover himself because the glory of God was all on his face. And so the more that you expose yourself to the presence of God in worship, the more you become like him. And the people in your neighborhood and your family and your job site, they see that and they're drawn to that because they're looking for a father in this world of orphans. And we are called to carry that presence wherever we go. He's looking for worshipers. Sometimes we get stuck and really not wanting to know God, but wanting to experience his signs. So let me say this. Name me a good restaurant that you like going to. Ruth Chris. You got expensive taste, but okay. Ruth Chris. So for all of you meat eaters, that I am, Ruth Chris, right? And so you want to go to Ruth Chris because of the good food they have, right? The steaks and all that. And so you say, we're going to Ruth Chris. And so you drive over to Walnut Creek, wherever you go, right? And then you see the sign of Ruth Chris on the building, right? You see the sign says Ruth Chris, right? And you see the sign, and then you turn around and go back home. You see the sign that says Ruth Chris. You see the sign. And then you turn around and go back home. Watch this. But this is what's happening to us. We see the sign of God moving. We see the sign. And then that seems to be enough for us. And we turn around and go back home. The sign points to something greater than the sign. The sign Ruth Chris points to, they're staking that house, right? The sign points to something that's greater than the sign. You see, Moses experienced the signs in the acts of God, but he wanted more. Amen? I have it here. Where is it at? Yes, Exodus 33. Exodus 33. Exodus 33. I believe that's it. Exodus 33. Yeah. Exodus 33. And verse 13. And verse 14. Exodus 33. Verse 13 and 14. It says there in verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. Watch this. That I might know you. Show me your ways that I might know you. I want to see the signs, but it's more than, I want to know you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to know you. I'm not satisfied with just signs. I'm not satisfied with a jump or a shout. I want to know you. Huh? I want to know you. See, the true worshipers want to know him. The sign only points to something greater than the sign. And what's greater than the sign is God. And God looking for a people that want him. Now watch this. When you're exposed to him, things happen in your environment. Lives are changed. Huh? Strongholds are destroyed. Huh? People are being saved because of my exposure to him. Listen, though the songs were good, the songs were only a sign to point to someone greater than the song. The songs were, but they point to someone greater than the songs. And that's him. If you're stuck at the songs and all you want is singing, you're like the children of Israel who stood afar off. Yeah. Ooh, man, ain't they singing? Ooh, look at John play. Ooh, that boy can sing. Ooh, man. If that's all you want, you're standing afar off. But God looking for someone like Moses who will enter into that cloud. And watch this. No one went in there with him. He went by himself. According to the 19th chapter, they all had an opportunity to be priests for him. But they chose only to live by law and religion. You go, you seek God, you come back and tell us. You sing, you guys praise, you lift up your hands, we'll come and we'll watch. And we'll go back home and we'll tell our friends, wow, what a great job they did today. Whoo, you should have seen them dance before the Lord. Whoo, you're standing afar off. And there's an invitation by God to draw near. And you must decide whether you want to take advantage of that invitation or not. It's going to require you humbling yourself before the Lord. Here's something you're not going to like. I'm going to share you with you anyway. There are going to be some times in your life where God is going to say, if you really want me, bow before me. Psalms Psalms 99, I think it is. Psalms 99. Psalms 99. Yes, Psalms 99 and verse 5. You see, it's easy to sing about it, but it's really hard to do it. Huh? Oh, we bow before the King. We can sing about it. So here, Psalm 99, verse 5 says this. Exalt the Lord, our God. We do that well. Exalt, whoa, God, you're great. You're mighty. Then it says here. And worship at his footstool. He is holy. So if I'm sitting and I have a footstool, and you're called to worship at my footstool, what is your posture or position? You're down there. You're down there. I don't mind singing about it, right? But I can't humble myself and bow before the Lord physically. Wear you some clothes that you don't mind getting dirty. Exalt the Lord, our God, and worship at his footstool. He is holy. And the posture you take when you come in the presence of a holy God always has to be on your knees. For he is holy and he is God and I am not. And I bow before you. To men we salute, but to God we bow down. Which destroys our pride. And God saying, if you really want to worship me, your pride has to be destroyed. Well, all I want is him. And that was a mouthful. Now, let me say this to you. And we have to be very careful because we can speak lies, but we can also sing lies. Are you listening? We can speak lies, but we can also sing lies. And I wonder at times when we sing, are we singing a lie? When we say, all I want is you, is that truth? I know all I need is you. I know all I need is you. That's truth. There's no way about it. But all I want is you, because man. All I want is you. So if you're going to be this true worshiper, you got to humble yourself. Take the position of a servant before the King. And when he tells you to bow before him, you bow before him. If there is a lack of obedience, then there's a lack of worship. If there's a lack of obedience, there's a lack of worship. You cannot say, I worship you, and then I disobey you. That's not truth. And God is looking for true worshipers that he might expose himself to, that they may carry his glory and his power with them everywhere they go and change the community in which they live in. For you are the salt of the earth. You are. And you must be willing to humble yourselves and pray before him. Amen? Amen. I've got one more. I'm going back to Psalms 115, and then we're going to move on. Psalms 115. I started at verse 3. I'm going to go back and read verse 3 again, a few more verses. It says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Okay? That's our God. Their idols, the world's idols, are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Ears they have, but they do not see. Eyes they have, I'm sorry, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. You become what you worship. You become more and more like what you worship. Okay? And then it says in verse 9, it says, O Israel, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Our God is in heaven. He does what he pleases. Worthless idols, whether your idol is money or a job or a home or whatever it is, it can't do anything for your eternal destination. O Israel, O Lighthouse, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Get in his presence that he might expose himself to you, that you might carry his glory wherever you go. And listen, things will change. You'll see signs and wonders. Not because you're seeking signs and wonders, because you're seeking him. Because worship is not the means to the end. Worship is the end. I want to worship him. I want to bow before him. I want to serve him. I want to honor him. I want to adore him. No, it doesn't matter what he's done or not done. I'm choosing to adore him, for he is God. I understand his rank compared to my rank. He's here. I'm here. I bow before you. You are the king. I am not. You are God. I am not. And I bow before you. I humble myself before the Almighty God. You are God. Hallelujah. You are God. You are God. I am not. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. You are God. Turn the other cheek. I don't like it, but I will because you're God. Love my enemy. I don't like it, but you're God. And you said to do it, and I'll do it. Because you are God. And I bow before the king. And there are going to be times where he will ask you to physically bow before him. And there will be times he will ask you to mentally and emotionally bow before him. And watch this. It will look like, you're not going to like this, it will look like you're giving in to a natural person. And God will say, I want you to hold your peace. And you've got a list of things. You know, sometimes when people are talking to us, right, we're not listening. We're getting our guns ready, because when they stop, you go, right? And we're ready to lay it on them. And God's going to say to the true worshipers, don't say a word. And in your mind, you're going to say, but God, they're wrong. I know. Don't say a word. But God, I could just easily tell them off and put them in their place. Yeah, I know, but don't say a word. See, worship is more than a dance or a song. Huh? It's a bowing down before his ways. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it because you're God. And I am not. You are God. I am not. You sit in heaven. You do whatever you want. The angels in heaven only do what they're told to do by God. we are called to bow our wills before God. When we come in here and we sing, it's only to point our affection and adoration towards Him. It is the songs is not the end. It's only a means to get to the place where I worship Him. So we're called to sing with excellence, give Him glory. Okay, we are, but that's not the end of it. Because of the sounds, the song sounded good and it made you move. That's great, and we need it. But the end is worshiping Him. Every song has to point towards Him. Amen. None point towards us. Every song points towards Him. Everything that I do has to point towards Him. And God's looking for true worshipers who'll be willing to bow before Him. Amen. Will you be one of those who will accept the invitation to come and be a worshiper? Listen, anyone can praise Him, but only folks who really know God can worship Him. Moses said, "Show me your ways so I might get to know you. I want to know you, God, more than anything else." And that needs to be the cry of your heart. Amen. And it was the cry of your heart when you gave your life to Jesus some years ago. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Stand to your feet, everyone. Worshippers pursue after the heart of God. They pursue after Him. Because I want to know Him more than anything else. All I really want is Him. And so I'm going to have John sing this song again about "Here I Am to Worship." And then we're going to have this prayer and move on outside and anoint this showers with oil and dedicate it to the Lord. Is Darielle here? Darielle, wave your hand, girl. Because you just recently gave your life to the Lord not too long ago, and I want to say thank God for you. Give it up for Darielle. And Heidi and Milan, it's good to see you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, in a moment I'm going to give you an invitation. But John, why don't you sing that through one time before I do that invitation? Listen to what the song says. Listen. Listen, listen, listen. Yes. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and then maybe you're here today and maybe in the past you walked with the Lord, but you kind of just fell away and you want to come back, and here's your opportunity. If you've never accepted Jesus or you want to come back to the Lord, I want you to leave wherever you're standing and come in. Meet me at the altar, and we're going to pray for you. If that's you, that you never met the Lord before, but you want to accept him as your Savior, or you knew the Lord and you walked away for some reason, don't harden your heart. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He does. If you're here, you want to know Jesus. Oh, Jesus. If not, you can't say you didn't have the opportunity. So bow your heads. We're going to pray here, and then we're going to move out into the parking lot and anoint the mobile shower unit. Gosh, thank you for coming. Father, thank you that you're looking for those to worship you, for true worshipers, that you can expose yourself to, that we might go out and change this world, oh God, to a nation of orphans who are looking for fathers. And God, you're their Father. So I pray, God, that you would pour into us, oh God, everything that we need, oh God, to manifest your presence in our workplace, in our home, in our communities. God, they would lift up the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in such a way that Jesus would draw men and women into himself. So God, you're looking for worshipers. Here we are, God. Here we are to worship you. We're here willing to bow down before you, to put our own will to the side for your will. For you are the Lord, and we are not. And we give you praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray.